Evening. How are you doing? So, you've got me for the next 2 weeks. Okay. You got me for the next 2 weeks. And these 2 weeks are really, well, every week's important in Route 61. Are you enjoying it up to now? Sometimes enjoying isn't the right word, is it? But sort of painful experience, but good at the same time. You meet God. And so these 2 weeks are really, really important. They're, and I don't usually do them, but Andy's going to Russia next week. And a few different reasons. So we're going to talk about heart healing. Jesus said that he was the person who God had anointed to heal the human heart. We can't actually heal our own hearts. You might have realized that in life already. You might be old enough to realize that. That no matter how many friends you have or cars you have, or holidays you have, or husbands you have, or wives you have, or kids you have, none of that actually heals the damage done throughout life in your heart. Neither does counselling. Neither can you truly be healed just by looking inside and sorting yourself out. Thank God there's something better than that. Jesus himself says that he will supernaturally come and heal the wounds in your heart. Tonight we're going to talk about forgiveness, the power of forgiveness, and why that's such an awesome tool for you to be able to, with the help of Jesus, set yourself free as he shows you how and who to forgive and gives you the understanding and the ability to do it. And then next week we'll speak about wounds in the heart and bitterness and how to overcome them and turn curses into blessings. But should we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come? Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're our teacher. And thank you that you love us, Jesus, just as we are. But you love us too much to leave us as we are. And we open our hearts to you now, Lord. We ask you to come and speak to us, to touch us, to do the amazing things this week and the next week and throughout the week that only you can do. Holy Spirit, we give you the next fortnight in a particular way. We ask you to heal the wounds in our hearts. We ask you, Jesus, to bind up the brokenhearted tonight. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the answer, the healer, the doctor, the great physician. We trust you, Lord, and we ask you to help us not be afraid and to open up to you. Amen. Interesting phrase that, I will bind up the brokenhearted. It's very sort of medical phrase, like as if it's going to take a little bit of time, which it does. Jesus does some things instantly and supernaturally in people's hearts. Only he can get into the exact place. The truth is, we're just so complicated. When we try and sort ourselves out, it's like a 5-year-old trying to defuse a nuclear bomb. It's not going to happen. I met this guy once in Wales who was a watch repairer. And he was a really old guy. I was chatting to him on a Route 61 weekend, actually. And I said, oh, how long have you been repairing watches? He said, oh, about 50, 55 years. I said, oh, you must have worked on some amazing watches, have you? He said, well, now and again, you get a really interesting one, you know. I said, do you get some expensive ones? He said, I've sometimes worked on expensive ones, yeah. A couple in particular. I said, well, how expensive? Like, what? He said, well, there was one that was it was valued at about £200,000. I thought, dear me, it's amazing. I said, are you nervous working on something that's that expensive? He said, oh, yeah, really nervous. This watch belonged to the sea captain, and he'd been given it as a gift from the Filipino government because the Filipino Navy, something happened to one of their ships, and they were going to hit rocks, and this sea captain had gone off course in his own just commercial ship and towed them to safety, and as a reward, he gave him this watch. And he was cleaning it and doing stuff to it, and it's just worth a fortune. And he said that, you know, you have all these things in your eyes now to look closely, and these little tweezers and things. And he said, no one can use anyone else's tweezers in that kind of work. He said, because in the end, your fingers know the exact strength of your own tweezers. You can't go across to someone else's workbench and use their tweezers. your fingers will instantly know. It's amazing. It's like such intricate work, isn't it? That's nothing compared to your heart. Nothing. Your heart is worth a lot more than £200,000. Your heart is the source of your whole life. It's damaged through Satan, sin, others, and yourself. And Jesus wants to heal it. And only he can do it. But he does it with your cooperation. As you open up and let him in, he'll show you things that will amaze you and reveal things that you've forgotten, that your soul, in self-protection, has just blocked out of your memory from your childhood and other things. Oh, I don't think I have any issues. Well, let Jesus show you and show you where they are and what they are so he can heal you. And it's in stages. No matter how often you soak and be in the presence of God, he wants to show you things and help you, especially as issues come up. But when you're on something like Route 61, it's just open season for your heart. Hit me again. I can still hear him. You know, anyway. So, here's a scripture, famous scripture about forgiveness. Jesus' teaching on forgiveness is absolutely revolutionary, total opposite of what all other world religions, for instance, teach about forgiveness. Peter came to Jesus, this is Matthew 18, verse 21, if you want to read it, but you can just listen. Peter came to Jesus and asked him, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus said, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man came to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's the equivalent of millions of pounds. And he was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the king ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, king, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. The servant's master, the king, took pity on him, cancelled all of his debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, that's about £50. He grabbed him and began to choke him by the neck. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And his fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had that man thrown into prison until he could pay his debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were distressed. And they went and told their king everything that had happened. Then the master called that servant back. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servants like I had mercy on you? And then in anger, the king turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back everything he owed. That is a scary story from Jesus. And Jesus ends by saying, as if it isn't scary enough, this is how my heavenly Father, he's speaking to Peter, will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Forgiveness is not a choice or an option for Christians. It is an absolute essential part of being Christian. It is massively healing and beneficial for you, but it's an absolute must if you want to walk with God. Because he's the wonderful news that you've already been experiencing on Route 61. That is, God is your loving father. He's your dad. You're getting to know him. And he wants to forgive and cleanse you for everything you've ever done. All of your debt, the millions that you owe God, he's cancelled through Jesus Christ. Freely. Is there an obligation on you? Yes. To pay some of it back? No. The obligation is to treat other people the same. Now that is hard because we're really hurt. And some people have really hurt us deeply. So Jesus wants to help you. He wants to help you be able to bind up your broken heart through forgiveness. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily work logically that you must do that. You have to be shown that tonight, on shown it by the Holy Spirit, and shown it by the Scriptures, and shown it by God. Because you don't necessarily connect the two. We go to church and of course we want to be forgiven. Of course we want to get right with God. Of course we're guilty and we want to be cleansed. But we don't necessarily see the relationship to other people. But Jesus totally connects it. It's two sides of the same coin. Two sides of the same coin for a Christian. Say, for instance, Lowry borrows my Apple laptop. And he says, I'll give you it back. But he never does. And that really annoys me. A few months go past. And I keep saying to him, listen, if you've lost that computer, you get me another one. You owe me. Does he owe me? Yeah. He does owe me. That's right, isn't it? That's justice. He borrowed it. He's responsible for it. It's my Apple. It's expensive. It costs. He owes me. Then I go home one day, and some good news. Some rich uncle says to me, I'm visiting from the States. I've struck oil. Martin, your mortgage is paid. Your bank is chock full. And if you ever need any more, just call me. Is that good news for me? Wonderful. Thank you, uncle. I don't know who he is, but I love you. Thank you, my uncle. I love you. And thank you so much. And then next day, I see Lowry. Can you see they don't necessarily logically connect? I mean, does he still owe me a computer? Is he wrong in not giving it back to me? Yeah. But Jesus says, in the kingdom of God, this is how it works. If your mortgage is paid and your bank's full forever, you have an obligation. No one owes you anything anymore. No one owes me anything anymore. That's the truth. And when you hold someone, a grudge against someone who's hurt you, and they might really owe you, they might have destroyed your marriage, they might have destroyed your life. People are raped, people are beaten, people are robbed, people are disinherited. We're talking about serious stuff. And other people are just downright rejected. Fathers leave. Mothers whack. Teachers curse. Friends sleep with your girlfriends. People are devastated by life. People really owe you. And when they do, you have a right, a legal right. You're like the man holding this guy by the neck. Now, I wonder how many people you're holding tonight. Of course, these arms are invisible. You'd be amazed how many arms you can have. Or you can be carrying round with you a whole gang of people. Some owe you everything. Some owe you a bit. Some just owe you, but they're all connected to you through bitterness and unforgiveness. They're like ghosts in your life. You drag them round. They affect you. They prevent you from being free. That's what unforgiveness does. It totally binds you to the past. It's like living your life, driving along, always totally fixated on your rear view mirror. You're always looking back. You can't really clearly see where you're going. You're a danger to those around you, and you don't even enjoy the view. Why? Because you are so looking back all the time. That's what bitterness and unforgiveness does to you. Jesus is going to help you too. Do you know the little thing where you flick your mirror and those lights go really dim? They're still there. Did those things still happen? Am I denying they happened? No, they happened. Just they don't need to affect you or control you or dominate your future. You can be healed of them. You can be free from them. You can just enjoy the view and look ahead and move ahead through your life. And every time there's something else bright, another pain, another hurt, through forgiveness and through this process that we're going to teach you tonight, you can keep, I'll take the sting out of it. I'll overcome it. I'm going to forgive them. That's my choice. That's my honor. That's my power. That's my dignity. I can, I must, I will forgive. I choose to. When you forgive people who've hurt you, you're releasing them. You're also releasing yourself. You set yourself free as you forgive other people. There's a massive release of joy, even though they've hurt you. Forgiveness is totally rooted in the will. I will forgive. It's not a feeling. That's why I've had people say, how can I forgive my dad for what he did to me? He's dead. You can forgive him. Sure, you can forgive him if he's dead. We're not talking about reconciliation here. We're not talking about let's be buddies, let's be friends. That's something totally separate. God might heal your relationship with this person. You might be sat there thinking, no chance. I daren't go anywhere near that person. They've hurt me so much. That's fine too. You don't have to. God doesn't say that. God doesn't say you must be buddies with everyone. He doesn't. He says you must forgive them. You must have your own heart free. You must cut them off. They don't owe you anymore. You don't owe me anything. I release you that debt. You don't have any debt to me anymore. No debts. No one owes me. Because I'm debt free too. I don't owe anyone, and I don't owe God, because I'm a forgiven man. I'm a forgiven woman. That's a fantastic place of freedom and healing for you. Fantastic, amazing. If you learn this, it's a massive tool for life. Forgiveness sets you free. The first time I went to India, Prem, my good buddy, said, Martin, why don't we have a day off? Well, I'll take you to see a zoo. I thought, this is hilarious. I thought I was in a zoo already. There was phenomenal birds with beautiful colours all over the place and awesome animals and oxen and everything everywhere. I thought, I'd absolutely loved it. India is just gorgeous. He said, no, let's have a day off. I'll take you to a zoo, show you a proper tiger. It's proper. I thought, oh, okay, sounds good. So we went, and in the car park of the zoo, there was this massive elephant, big, huge, giant Indian elephant with a tiny little bit of string around its massive leg with a little stake of wood into the ground. And we parked up and walked over to it. I was like, whoa. You know when you get close to a really big animal, they're really big. And I said, are they dangerous? He said, oh, very dangerous. They could kill anyone, run through the jungle. I said, why haven't they got it chained with a bigger chain and stuff? And he said, oh, what they do is, when they're little elephants, is this an Indian accent? Or is it a Middlesbrough accent? They get a big chain and they tie it around the elephant's leg while it's a baby elephant. And as it grows, it gets scared or angry or freaks out and tries to run. And dunk, it can't. It's completely stuck. Do you know what's hilarious? I'm telling you the total wrong story. It was in India. It was at this zoo. What is the total of the... Shall I continue with this story anyway? Because it's fairly interesting, and who cares? And you've got nothing better to do. You're on Route 61 anyway. It's okay. Anyway, and he said... This is a story for next week, so anyway, it'll save us a bit of time next week. Because it is relevant to heart healing, it's just got nothing to do with forgiveness. But anyway, sorry. Anyway, when the elephant, when they want to, they take the big chain off the elephant and they just tie a little string around its leg. The reason being is the chain still exists in the elephant's mind. The chain is still there in its mind, you see. That's a very good heart healing story, isn't it? Just got now to forgiveness. When the elephant never even tries to run because it knows that the chain is there. However, don't tell the elephant the chain isn't there. And you see, this is true for you. Jesus, when you went to the cross the other night, or when you gave your life to Christ, or when you came forward at church, or got on your knees in your bedroom, or did Alpha, when you came to Jesus, every chain was literally broken off you then. So what we're talking about in heart healing and all the right, actually heart healing is a different thing, but renewal of the mind is to do with letting the truth that you're free get to the point where you believe it and act upon it, and then you realize, oh, there's no chain. Actually, you cannot do that until the truth renews your mind and sets you free to be able to do that. Otherwise, you just live in the same little box you've always lived in. This is me. My mum was like this. I was like this. We're always like this. This is us. No, actually, it's not. You've just been recreated. You've just got a brand new life from Jesus. He recreated you in his image. I don't care what your mum was like. That has nothing to do with you now. It might have. Doesn't now. Because you've been recreated by Jesus Christ. You are a new person, new creation. So you are going to overcome all those hurts, bruises, hurt, hang-ups. Your mind's going to be renewed and you're going to get increasingly free. Sound good? I bet you want to come next week and hear more, don't you? Anyway, I was at the zoo. And afterwards in the elephant, we walked through the zoo, saw a few things, awesome tigers, which are the scariest things in the world. Especially in India with these tiny little wobbly cages. You get really close to them. And he took us to this place where there's some monkeys and they were catching monkeys out of the trees. They did it by tying a little vase-like pot onto the ground with a bit of fruit in. And the monkeys come down from the trees, put their little skinny arms in the little skinny neck of the vase and grab the apple or whatever it is, the fruit, the mango. And then they're stuck. Dun, dun, because you can't get the mango out of the jar. And people come over to them. Now we're going to capture you, monkey. And the monkey's so thick. It's a bit like us. He doesn't realize that actually he can set himself free by letting go of the mango, by letting go of the fruit. When you let go of that person who wounded you, hurt you, who's damaged you, who's failed you, who's betrayed you, when you let go of them, you get free. Not only do they get let off, and God will judge. God's the judge. He'll sort people out who need sorting out. That's not your job. Your job is to follow Jesus by forgiving everyone who's ever hurt you and setting yourself free through the help of Jesus. Forgiveness is totally in your will. And sometimes it's a process of exercising your will over and over again. And as you do that, you know, your feelings catch up. So you might say, when I think of that person, I just feel hatred, I feel anger, I feel abused, I feel injustice, I feel bitterness, or I just feel dead to them, I don't love him anymore, I'm married to him, but I don't love him anymore, I'm dead, he's hurt me. Right, well, your feelings will catch up with your will. Your will is the boss. If you follow Disney and let your feelings be the boss, you'll be in big trouble. Pocahontas is wrong. If you follow your heart, you go over the waterfall. Your feelings are like little children. Make them obey you, and you'll have a nice life with them. If they rule your house, you're in trouble. You cannot be ruled by your feelings. You must be ruled by choices, the power of making great choices. And you choose to obey Jesus. That's why I think Jesus is so wise. He's so clever and loving. Really painful things, he just gives us no grey areas. No, you must forgive. Peter, this can take you out. Peter, this will stop you becoming who I want you to be. Peter, if I put a limit on this, Peter, if I say 5 times, forgive him 5 times, what happens when he hurts you 6 times? No, this is limitless. I'm teaching you to overcome life's hurts, Peter, right now. You must forgive every time your brother sins against you. We teach our kids this. We're meant to teach our kids this from being very young. If they come and get in the car, you can see it on their face, can you? You pick them up from school. What's wrong? Billy Bronter punched me in the face or something, you know. Someone nicked my lunchbox. Someone, you know, and actually, it's a big mistake to say, never mind, never mind. Oh, it happens. Or, you know, right, well, go and tell the teacher. That's just justice. Christian families and Christian kids, you go beyond that to forgiveness. You can do the justice bit as well. If something's wrong, you can go and say it, absolutely. But that doesn't heal our little boy's heart. It doesn't. Justice doesn't heal your heart. Love heals your heart. Jesus heals your heart. Forgiveness heals your heart. So I've often done this with the kids. I'm looking in the car mirror, looking at, watching, seeing the faces. Do you have a good day?
Mm.
Huh? What happened?
Billy Thingy said it was his picture, and it wasn't. It was mine, and he got a star.
And did he know it was your picture?
Yeah, he knew it was my picture, and afterwards he laughed about it in the playground.
Is that hurtful? Hey, you know what it is? Hurts in life start early, don't they? I mean, you don't belittle it. It's a kid's hurt, it's a real hurt. Injustice, rejection, teacher didn't stick up for it. It's a lot of stuff in there. Needs dealing with.
How can we deal with it? Let's take him to a counsellor. He's only 3.
No. You deal with it. In the name of Jesus, right then in the car, you pray. Okay, this is what we're going to do. You follow me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I forgive Billy.
I forgive Billy.
For hurting me. I watch their faces change in the mirror. They're set free.
For forgiving me.
And I pray you bless him, Lord. I pray you bless him, Lord. You'll have a nice day tomorrow. You'll have a nice day tomorrow. What's for tea? That's called being free. Being free. And we're just big kids, aren't we? Many of us are big kids who've never, ever been taught anything like that till you come to Jesus. So you might have you might have 200 people hanging around you tonight. I'm a bit, there's a lot of me. I've had a life. Well, it's all right. You know what? You can drop 200 people tonight. And the hurt and the damage that they've caused can be healed. Sometimes supernaturally in a moment, sometimes over a bit of time. It's all right. You keep doing the same thing. You hurt or you're in that situation with that person. It isn't going away. The hurt's still there. The trouble's still there. The person's still there. You got to keep going through it. You've got to keep doing the right thing and Jesus will back you and help you. Do the right thing, Jesus will back you and help you. You forgive them, you pray, you forgive them by name. Say their name, I forgive you in the name of Jesus. Say it in prayer, say it out loud, I forgive you in the name of Jesus. I bless you, you don't owe me anything anymore and you're setting yourself free. Your feelings will slowly catch up. We had, you could mention so many things, you know, but one that really stuck out for me, it wasn't a particularly big hurt, but it was a long-term hurt for me, was I had a guy who was really close to me, real brother in Jesus, you know, brought him to the Lord. Well, I think he'd just become a Christian, actually, but sort of taught him about the Lord. Me and Margaret got him and his wife baptized in the Holy Spirit, and super friends and really close. And then we had a lot of trouble in this church. All sorts of things went wrong. We sort of tried to protect the pastor and his wife. Our friends didn't understand. All sorts of trouble, but it turned out they just sort of started to turn against us, started to compete with us, started to be just against us, you know. Hurtful, isn't it? You know, your friends who you trust and love you close to, the intimate ones are the worst. You know, it says in the Bible, if it was an enemy that kicked me in the face, I'd be all right. But it was you, my brother. Oh, hurts. And I thought, well, you know what? I sort of knew the right thing. Oh, forgive him, Lord. I just keep forgiving him. But things kept going on and on and on and on. I thought, man, I need some space from this. I need to have some space. Lord, can I have some space? Then the opportunity rose for us to go to Bible college. And it was like, yes, freedom from all this trouble in this church and all this pain with our ex-friends. And I started to think, yeah, fantastic. And then I clearly remember the day when he proudly came around our house and announced that he too was released from work to go to Bible college. And they were coming to the same Bible college in Scotland. I was like, great. I'm just so happy for you. And he left. And Margaret looked at me like, no. And I walked upstairs, got on my knees, opened the Bible on the bed. Speak to me, God, please. And the first thing I read was, in my father's house are many rooms. Well, for him. Then we went to Bible college. You know what? It got worse. At Bible college, he was like this super guy. Everyone loved him because he was like very good socially. And me, outside of preaching, I'm actually quite shy. Those of you who might know me personally, but I'm not very good socially in connecting things. I just sort of, you know, I'm from a very poor background and I haven't had much education. So get me in certain situations with people who seem educated or seem posh, and I just go super quiet. But he was Mr. Popular, and they put him in charge of all the students. That was me. And then he sort of teamed up with these other guys. I don't want to go into this, but nobody can. And he teamed up with, and do you know what? It was just a very hard year, very hard. After that year, I really was hurt. I was really hurt. You know, if someone pricks you in the arm, it doesn't hurt. But if they do it every day for 3 years, it'll be a huge wound. I had a huge wound. I was desperate for space, trying to do the right thing, making myself do the right thing. But my heart was wounded by them, by this couple. And Margaret's was as well. And we left Bible college. And the nice thing is, the real nice thing is, we didn't see him for a year. Yes! It's amazing. You live in the same town. You don't bump into people. Didn't see them for a year. Do you know what? Space is helpful with hurts and wounds. It is helpful. And in that time, every time I thought of them, I did the same thing. Often out loud, in the toilets, in places. That's the one that reminded me, because I was saying it out loud in the toilet once in the cinema, and someone came out of the cubicle and thought, oh, I didn't know they were there. Never mind. I hope they don't know them. I was saying out loud, in the name of Jesus, I forgive them and them. And I release you. In the name of Jesus, I release you. I just kept working through it. I had a fear of meeting them again and being anywhere near them. Can anyone relate to that? You have a fear of the hurt. And you have a fear, as a Christian, you have a fear of that you're not going to react right as well. So it's like a double whammo when you're Christian. But just doing that and having some space, doing that. Actually, the Holy Spirit was healing me. I didn't know. My feelings were slowly, slowly catching up. And then there were some big meetings in our church, some big Holy Spirit meetings, and lots of people were coming to our church. And I remember this very clearly as well. I was in the kitchen one night in the kitchen in our old church, and someone came and said, oh, do you know who's here? This couple. You used to know them really well, didn't you? And I had instant fear. Thought, yeah. But I just felt as well, the Holy Spirit with me as well. Thought, you know, I think I'm going to be okay. And I walked out and saw them. As soon as I saw them, I was absolutely filled with love. Filled with love for them. It was supernatural. I was completely healed over it. Went up to them with a massive hug. It's absolutely awesome to see you. And it actually was. It really was. You'll have to come around our house and see us. Yeah, we'll come around. They came around. It was all healed. It was healed. It's sometimes a process. That's okay. God's okay. God's good with you. He'll work with you. It's okay. It sometimes isn't a process either. Sometimes it's just an act of your will and bang, something's done. Or 90% of it's healed. And there's a little bit of working out of it. That often happens. Often forgiveness is 90% of it, and then there's a little bit of renewal of the mind, heart, healing of the wound, and you're free. You're free. Forgiveness is massively, massively important. What time do you finish this normally? Half nine. Was that with the ministry? Yeah, okay. So I'll keep going for a few more minutes and then we'll do some ministry. Can you just stand up here for 1 second, Andy? You might have like a list against someone that, in your life. I mean, there's lots of people to forgive, but some of them are like big ones. So people you've lived with a long time, you might have a big list. This, for instance, might be Andy's list. Andy's been in my life for a long time, just say, for instance. And there's lots of water under the bridge, and he's really hurt me. I have a subconscious list of ways he's hurt me. You might not think this exists, but it does. When Jesus said, if you hold anything against anyone, he was talking about real things. Anything. There's something, yeah. There's something. I have this against them, and I have this against them, and they didn't give me that money back, and then they're always on at me, and they never appreciate me, and they never say thank you. And you know, I have a list. But this is what Jesus said, an absolutely universal statement. He said, when you stand praying, so do it in the presence of God, right? Do it here. Do it when you're soaking. Do it in prayer. Don't just try and do it yourself. It's not just mechanical. It's in prayer. It's with the help of God. It's in his presence you can do it. Jesus said, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, it's like me holding the list. You owe me. You owe me. You owe me. And that invisible person is there. And there's not just hands on the neck. There's an actual list. There's real issues here. There's real events. There's history. Jesus said, if you hold anything against anyone. Does that sound pretty universal to you? Anything. Anyone. I don't know how wide you can get, but you can't get any wider than that. If you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven can forgive you. Thank you, brother. You are forgiven of everything you've ever done to me. So what we're going to do this week is this. We'll do some more stuff and, you know, we'll show you just the supernatural release that comes from this. And different things that start falling into your place in your life. The testimonies you get from this type of meeting are incredible. We had one guy, an older guy, Scottish guy, who hadn't spoken to his brother for 20 years because they'd really hurt each other. And he was asking all the reconciliation things. What should I do? What should I do? And me and Stuart were talking to him at the end of the meeting. We said, you don't do anything. Just you forgive him. You just forgive him. You just do your part. You forgive him. So we led him in a prayer, like we're going to lead you in a moment now. And in this prayer, he named his brother, forgave him, released him, and went home. The next week, this guy turns up absolutely bouncing. It was an old Scottish guy. Comes up to him, says, you won't believe what's happened. This is my Scottish accent now. You won't believe it. When I left you two boys. No, sorry. No. When I left you guys, I went home and I had an answer phone message off my brother. First communication in 20 years. Coincidence? Not. An answer phone message he'd rang while we were praying, forgiving him. And the answer phone message said, let's put the past behind us. Let's start again. Like, this guy's not even a Christian. This is the power of the kingdom of God. When you do your bit, you let God do his bit. Hey, you're not responsible for anyone else's actions. Someone might have walked into your life, absolutely abused you and walked out. Well, let the abuse end tonight through you forgiving them. God will judge them. Yes, he will. Or save them. That's none of your business ultimately. That's up to God. We don't do well at judging. We get it all wrong. But you do your bit tonight and you'll begin a massive healing process in your heart. It's awesome. The power of forgiveness. Jesus putting the ball right back in your court for your own healing. What can I do? All these people have damaged me. You can set yourself free. You let go of that fruit. You choose in your will to pray these prayers, release these people. And Jesus said, you know, how many times must I forgive? The truth is, all the time. Who should you forgive? Well, listen, definitely people who are close to you. So your parents. There are no good or bad parents, just parents. Forgive them. Let them off. And the more you understand about heart healing and pain and trouble, doesn't it help a bit to see that they're just dealing with their own mess? And how were their parents with them? What hurt and damage did they go through that didn't allow them to raise you as they could have? They were full of hell and full of anger. Yeah, well, someone put that hell in them. I'm not saying they're not responsible for their own actions. We are. But there are reasons. And if you put that in the mix, it does help you. Helps you forgive them. You don't justify anyone. You don't cover anything over. Don't pretend nothing happened. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. You were sinned against. You were hurt. You were damaged. That was evil. God doesn't agree with evil. If you've been walked over, that's evil. God wept more than you did about it. But he knows how to set you free from it. Not by making you judge and God. Yeah, go on, destroy them. By hating and speaking against them and imagining their doom 1,000 times. No, not like that. You just forgive them and I'll heal you. And I'll deal with them in the end. Can you trust me to deal with them in the end? I want to deal with them. I know you do, but can you let go of that gun a minute and let me shoot it? Because I'm God, I'm the judge, I can do it right. You'll shoot yourself or someone else, which is what you do when you start to judge. Next week, we'll go into this in detail. I'll show you how judging others backfires into your own life. And we'll spend some time breaking those judgments. In fact, I'll end with this. One of the prayers you're going to pray here, even if you don't fully understand it, just pray it anyway and you'll understand it next week more fully about judgments. We're going to pray a prayer that forgives people. We're not going to rush. And as we pray through the prayer, it forgives people. And at the end, there's a bit that says, and I repent of judging people and I break those judgments now. Because when you judge someone, when you point a finger at someone, there's four fingers pointing back at you. Jesus said, the measure you measure out, it'll be measured back to you. And I'll show you next week. You can't afford to do it. You just need to do your bit, which is forgiving. And God will start to heal your heart in an awesome way.
Okay, so we're going to go through this prayer tonight of forgiving people. It's going to be on the screen. So what we're going to do now is if you'd all like to stand up and just find somewhere in the room, somewhere where you can see the screens, and then we're going to pray this prayer, but we'll just let people get some space first and just a couple of seconds, and then we'll go through this prayer. And if you've got your booklets, you can take them with you and refer back to the small group task. But why don't you just stay in this place of whatever, you know, the Lord's been speaking to you about, whoever the Lord is speaking to you about, whoever, you know, you'll know by now from tonight who it is that you need to forgive. And I just want to quickly read this prayer out first of all. So for those of you who are at the back, you might not be able to see it as well. You'll know what you're going to pray. So then when you pray it, you're actually meaning it rather than just saying it for the first time. So it's going to go, Father God, I thank you for the gift of your forgiveness. Thank you for sending your son to the cross for my pardon. Because of your great love, I now choose to give the same gift of forgiveness to those who have hurt me. In the name of Jesus, I pardon and forgive everyone in my life, especially. And then we're just going to take a few moments there, a good few moments, 5 minutes or so, to go into detail at this point. And you can refer to the little list that you did in your small groups if you need to do that. Holy Spirit, would you just come now and fall on each and every one of us here in this room? Lord, would you reveal and bring to the surface each and every person in our life that's caused us pain, hurt? Anyone that you want us to forgive tonight, Lord, would you bring it to our memory now? So when you're ready, if you'd like to look to the screens, and we'll all say this together, out loud, after three, one, two, three. Father God, I thank you for the gift of your forgiveness. Thank you for sending your Son to the cross for my pardon. Because of your great love, I now choose to give the same gift of forgiveness to those who have hurt me. In the name of Jesus, I pardon and forgive everyone in my life, especially. And like I say, we're going to spend about 5 minutes or so now doing this for real in our heart. And like Martin was saying, you know, forgiveness is from the heart. So it's helpful, actually, to, as painful as it might be, to maybe picture them, you know, picture that person. What was their name? What did they do? And you can say it out loud. You don't have to say it, scream it out so everybody can hear you, but you can whisper it, but it's actually really powerful if you can hear yourself say it. So you can whisper out loud, Lord, I choose to forgive so and so. And I forgive them for betraying me, for physically assaulting me, whatever it may be, say it out if you can. You can imagine yourself, you know, if you've been holding someone by the neck, by the throat, if you've held something against someone, you can picture that picture like Martin was illustrating. And as you say that prayer, I choose to let go of what I've been holding against you. Probably going to need to forgive your father, your mother, a brother or sister, a colleague at work, a boss. A husband, a wife. Former husband or wife, boyfriend, girlfriend. Maybe it's someone you've had to forgive lots of times before. You can forgive them again from a deeper place in your heart. And you know you may need to forgive yourself. Often, number one is the hardest person to forgive, because in our hearts we have pride and we expect much more from ourselves. But actually, you did this, and we're looking in the mirror and we're holding ourselves by the neck. For whatever it may be for. Maybe you've made some wrong decisions that have caused you or others pain in some way, shape or form. Probably have. None of us are perfect. For most of us, we're the reason that things are the way they are. And you can forgive yourself tonight. You can picture that in the mirror. Holding yourself, I blame you for this. What you've done. I'll never forgive you how you've hurt me. And we're just looking at a picture of ourselves. And you can say that tonight. And you can say your name out loud. Whatever your name is, you can speak it out again. So Andy Bray, I choose to forgive you. I choose to let you go. Whatever it is that you may have done to yourself or to others for not being the perfect or the parent that you may have wanted to have been, for not being the son or the daughter, the friend, the husband, the wife that you've wanted to have been. Let yourself off. We're just hurt through the fall. Don't take yourself too seriously. Don't be so proud as to expect too much from yourself. Let yourself off tonight. I let you go in Jesus' name. You owe me nothing. And then we're going to say this last part of the prayer. I'll just read it out really quickly again, and then we'll do it together. So I say to them tonight, from my heart, I forgive you. You owe me nothing, and I cancel your debts for Jesus' sake. Father, I repent of all judgments that I have made, and I break them now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free tonight from bitterness. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to heal me of all the hurt in my heart. Thank you, Lord. So if you agree with that and you want to say this out loud, we'll do it all now together. After three. One, two, three. I say to them tonight, from my heart, I forgive you. You owe me nothing, and I cancel your debts for Jesus' sake. Father, I repent of all judgments that I have made, and I break them now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free tonight from bitterness. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to heal me of all the hurt in my heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you just stay in this place of us receiving from the Lord. And we're going to put a bit of soaking music on. And if you feel like you need to take a seat or lay down on the floor and just keep going with this a little bit, because there's sometimes so much to go through. But if we can stick some of that on, it'd be awesome. And then just feel free to just rest in the presence of the Lord for a while. And you know, you can keep doing this deeper if you need to.
Yeah, take these 5 minutes before we finish, because often there's people who you haven't thought of. And it doesn't all have to happen tonight. This is a couple of weeks. Let's do this over a couple of weeks. And just while I've got the chance, I just want to say as well, if you can read that book this week, be a major help in the process. You can't, it doesn't matter, but if you can, it'd be great help. And this is something God's going to be doing with you all week. So keep trying to soak in his presence this week. Listen to him, but let's use these 5 minutes. And just, if you feel you've said everything, don't say anything. You don't have to make anything happen. He'll do it. You just listen to him. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome your presence. We welcome you. We welcome you. Come and rest on every heart. Touch every mind. Bring your freedom and healing, Holy Spirit.